Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome. Sit back and enjoy the show.
Hi, this is Dr. Jean Marie Farish, and I am thrilled to have Sandra Cavanaugh with us today. Sandra has coached thousands of successful entertainment professionals, entrepreneurs, CEOs, service professionals, parents, educators, and students of all ages and abilities to unleash their own unique creative genius with miraculous results. Sandra uses techniques and strategies that she has developed over more than 30 years as an educator, entrepreneur, consultant, and as a creative artist, and that's writer, director, actress, singer, songwriter. Sandra is the author of the international best-selling book, Spontaneous Brilliance, Unleash the Power of Your Unique Creative Genius. Sandra, welcome, and thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, thank you so much, Jean Marie. It's really a pleasure to be here. I'm excited about the interview today.
Well, Sandra, can you tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to your passion and purpose?
Well, you actually made me a little bit younger than I am. You said 30 years, but I've been teaching acting and improvisation for over 35 years. I started out as an actor and then became a director and a playwright and a screenwriter and been a singer-songwriter, as you said. And I've run theater companies and run film companies. And I realized at some point along the way that I was always saying to my acting students and improvisation students, in acting as in life, this is true. In improv as in life, this is true. And then one day I heard myself and said, okay, well, maybe Shakespeare's line, all the world's a stage and all the men and women merely players, is not just a pretty piece of poetry, but it's rather what I call a metaphorical, metaphysical guide to life. I have basically learned over the years, whether I'm working with actors or I'm working with CEOs or I'm working with children with extreme special needs, that anything that works for a good performance on the stage in improvisation or in acting, any technique or any rule that works for the stage works for life. And so in doing that work over the years and realizing that that was true, and then also realizing that as I was working with such diverse groups of people doing that work, I've worked with kids that were supposed to be nonverbal and unable to even write two paragraphs. And I've gone into these classrooms with kids with severe special needs, worked with them and had teachers tell me they're not going to talk to you, let alone improvise or write an award-winning play like you say you're going to get them to do. This is not possible. And my attitude has been, watch me, let me try. And I have found that I have never met a single human being on this planet that is not a unique creative genius. I just have come to have this passion that there is no shortage of brilliance on this planet. There is just a reluctance to offer it and a resistance to accepting it because we expect it to come out in a certain way, any brilliance that anyone has. And I'm just out there to show everybody that everybody's brilliant. It's not that you're not brilliant. It's that you've just been told not to demonstrate it in a certain way, or you haven't been accepting it from someone else. And we're all brilliant. We all have a passion and a purpose we came here to share. The job is to just get out there and share it and to be listening to each other if we're not meeting geniuses, every person that we speak to, then it's because we're not listening.
Sandra, that's beautiful. And you have been steadfast in your mission and your passion and helping children unlock their creativity when others think that there's no hope. That is just amazing.
It's been beautiful to experience. One time I taught at a high school, I did some residencies at a high school and worked with kids that literally were seniors in high school and they'd never written anything longer than a paragraph in their life. And some of them were nonverbal. And in 3 years of working with kids at this high school on and off, I had two students that entered the Kennedy Center's contest to write plays about disability. And in 3 years, I had two students win the national competition. And my students were students that had disabilities, whereas typically the winners were high school students that didn't have disabilities but were writing about disability. These students had extreme disability and did very well and won the national competitions. And that was just one sort of proof in the pudding for me that it's not that these kids are not brilliant. It's that we're expecting brilliance to look a certain way. And I had one student that I worked with for a couple of years that had a seizure disorder. He couldn't really write as fast as his brain could go. He couldn't speak as fast as his brain could go. But I was just sure that on the other side of those bright eyes, there was so much that he just wasn't saying. And so I brought in a scribe to work with him in the classroom, and she would just sit there and wait sometimes 5 minutes before he would say something for the next thing he wanted to write in this story he was writing. And it looked for a few days like the story didn't make any sense. And when he was finished, it was a 7-page post-apocalyptic tale of this young boy living in a tent city. And it was amazing, but nobody would ever get that out of him because they wouldn't just sit and listen and wait and not try to help him or interject their opinion because they thought he wasn't going to say anything if they just sat there silently for 5 minutes.
Sandra, that is spectacular. Your dedication, your patience, and even providing resources to help bring out the genius in these children, that is incredible. And you're creating this world where the unique creative genius of everyone is recognized and honored. And we really appreciate that. And your passion is really just so inspirational. And I'm sure our listeners are really pleased to know how you have dedicated your life to this.
It's evolved, you know, because I had no idea when I became an actor in New York in 1983 that life was going to evolve this way. And it really has. You know how they say that everything adds up to where you're going? All these seemingly disparate experiences add together. And that's what I've really found. I've adopted three of my four daughters, and two of them I adopted from foster care. And so they started me into that path really intensely of working with kids with some extreme special needs. And that has been a piece that added into my work with improvisation and writing and acting and directing and my love for teaching. And it's just all added together into creating spontaneous brilliance. It's the name of all my coaching programs, everything that I do. And it's the name of this book now. And the book is really very playful. Everybody that reads it that knows me says, I can hear your voice. And I was very careful about that to make sure that the book is just like sitting down and talking to me. And I love being able to bring together the theatrical piece, the theater techniques that apply to life, but also the sort of spiritual perspective that everything is energy. And we just have to help people focus and release that energy to really know how to share what they came here to the planet with. My biggest frustration is when people feel like they have to be sort of sitting back and taking second place or being upstaged, if you will, by the people in their life that seem to have it together. We all have fears and we all have challenges, but there are so many people that I meet that they're just so frustrated and so uninspired in their own life because of the way that they've been told to shut up and sit down. And we were all told that when we're skidgy little kids in school, but with some people it sticks and it stays with them their whole life and they don't learn to respond to the spontaneous thoughts that are in their mind or the inspiration that's in their heart. They kind of shove it to one side and they end up just being the backdrop for someone else's brilliance rather than recognizing that they have their own and having faith in their own.
Sandra, you certainly demonstrated how to, as Joseph Campbell says, follow your bliss and look at where it led you, all that you are accomplishing. And that's so encouraging and inspirational to listeners. And even for those who feel like they can't proceed with their abilities or capacities, and to know that there's hope and having that inspiration and the right person to help you come out and bring you into your passion is really amazing. You've done such fantastic work.
Well, thank you so much. And as you know from the book, I quote Joseph Campbell probably 6 or 7 times because he is definitely a hero of mine. And the notion of just following your bliss and then the doors will open that wouldn't open for anyone else. If you actually do follow your bliss, follow that inspiration in your heart. I always say to my clients and my students that we aren't given inspiration. We aren't given our desires in order to frustrate us. They're little breadcrumbs on the path to our bliss. That's how we recognize where we are meant to be going, is that desire, that inner niggling that we have something to give, even when we're afraid of it. So the book just for me is a playful way to help people put it out there and have that faith in themselves and their own passion and purpose in this world.
So true, so true. Sandra, when did you start writing?
Oh, wow. Gosh, I think I've always been writing in some degree, but I really became a produced playwright in my very early 20s, probably around 21, and most of my writing was plays and screenplays and teleplays for many years and songs, and then started writing longer pieces of fiction. And then this is my first nonfiction work. So, yeah, it was really challenging for me too. I said to my partner, Rex, like, oh my gosh, fiction is easy compared to this. This is so hard. And he, in his stoic sage kind of way, said, well, why don't you just treat it like fiction then? And I was like, oh, okay. And it actually did make it a ton easier for me to just realize that there really isn't that big a difference between writing fiction and writing the nonfiction if you're just letting the story take you where it goes.
Interesting. Now, this leads me to my next inquiry. What inspires you to create and write?
I most love to write about something that I'm intrigued by, some question that is unanswered. When I write fiction, when I write a play or a screenplay, I'm writing because something has come to my mind that is a question in the human condition that I don't know the answer to. So I want to play with that question and put these characters in that circumstance. And in inspiring me to write this book, it's because of my belief that our souls are like the actor and we are the we that is manifest here on the planet as these individual personalities. That's the character that our soul is playing. And so this became really an exploration for me of sort of looking at all of us as characters on this great stage of life was just a further extension of the way that I write plays or screenplays or even a book.
I love how you indicated that, you know, exploring these existential questions posed by humanity over time that really inspired you to what create and write and really look at what our purpose, what's the soul's purpose that we have. That's amazing. Any challenges in your writing? And if so, how did you overcome challenges in your writing?
My early challenges in my writing when I was younger was just in having the faith to put it out there and get it onto the stage. And with this first gigantic nonfiction writing exercise of mine, I think the challenge was seeing it through and staying with it, because I was writing it for about 4 years and trusting that if it wasn't ready, if it wasn't finished, it was because there was something I hadn't realized yet. When I actually did finish the book, there was a lot in there that if I had finished it 4 years ago, it wouldn't have been the same book. It was just that relaxing into realizing that it was all unfolding as it should.
I love that. Everything has its own divine timing, and you're showing us to have faith, to trust, and stay the course.
Yes, and trust your own unique creative genius. Trust that you have one. I used to have students in my improv classes that would say, oh, I'm just not, I don't have a very good imagination. And I would be like, seriously? There's no such thing as not a good imagination. We've all got a great imagination. We just don't all have the faith in it. We don't all have the ability to let it do its thing. Or people would say, I don't have an active imagination. I'm like, what is that? You're imagining all the time. It's just about us recognizing that we are all creating all the time. We're creating this life that we're in. We're creating this story that we're living. So we're creating all these thoughts in our imagination. We're creating everything that we put out there into the planet and doing it with purpose and intention and realizing what our intention is and then staying true to that. That's the fun.
Sandra, can you share favorite tips about writing or just for life in general?
Writing or life in general? There's a spectrum. With writing, I would just say trust. Keep breathing, keep playing, write no matter what. I tell my writing students, anytime that you feel like you can't write right now, that's probably because it's too easy, not because it's too hard. Set yourself some parameters and then start writing. My biggest tip for writers is write. And when you're not writing, read. As far as life, I would say recognize that you are offering into your own life. When in doubt, offer, and if in doubt, you're probably blocking.
Great. These are such smart tips for writing and for life in general that are certainly inspirational for our listeners. Sandra, can you just tell us a little bit about your book? What inspired you to put your knowledge and your wisdom and experience in book form?
The book, it came out of the two quotes. Basically, the first quote is attributed to Einstein, that everyone is a genius, but if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing that it's stupid. And that was really the first quote that got me to sit down and write and start to think about this. And the second is the quote from Shakespeare's As You Like It in Act 2, Scene 7, where he says, all the world's a stage and all the men and women merely players. And when I combined those two, that really brought together for me the whole spectrum of what I wanted to bring out in the book, Spontaneous Brilliance. And so the whole book does readdress those two metaphors and is really about the exploration of those two metaphors and finding the ways in which we limit ourselves when we don't look at the world that way.
Beautiful. Why do you think people are reluctant and resistive to expressing their creativity?
Oh, well, part of it is that our education system is so structured to keep us from that spontaneous sharing. We're kind of taught from very young not to be spontaneous in our thoughts. When I go and speak, I'll walk into a room, a convention or something that I'm speaking at, and I'll say, everybody raise your hands. If you've ever had to stop and think, and of course everybody raises their hands because we've all had to stop and think. And then the next thing I will say to them is, okay, now that everybody's hand is up, I'm going to tell you something. No, you didn't. You have never had to stop and think, because we think faster than we can even perceive. There's a lot of debate about how fast we do think, anywhere from 20,000 thoughts a day to maybe even as much as 200,000 thoughts a day. An acceptable middle ground there is about 60,000 thoughts a day. And if you think about it, we're not stopping to think. We're stopping to censor. We're stopping to judge. We're stopping to make sure that what we say is going to fit in. And that comes from being told when we're kids to raise our hand first, and we start to build up this fear. People will always tell me that they didn't raise their hand in school when they knew the answer, and then they're frustrated because they knew the answer, but they didn't raise their hand because they were afraid they were wrong. We learn to build up that fear, and we develop what I call preset, where we have these presets in our mind that are based in expectation or judgment or any of these things that create sort of the way that we default in our response to. We have an idea and we've got these presets that say, oh, nobody will like it, or what if nobody likes it, or what if nobody buys it, or if I spend all my time on that, am I not going to have enough money to do this other thing I want to do, or whatever the fear base is for each of us, you know, we tend to shut ourselves down rather than just share. And I believe all the answers are here for all the questions that we have on the planet, for all the problems that we have in the world. All the answers are here. We just have to start listening to them when they're shared, and we have to share them. We have to take the initiative to share them ourselves and to trust the spontaneous thought. What if you're the one person out there who's got the answer to how to solve global warming, but you sit on your couch with your Cheetos and watch other people yeah. talk about it on the news and don't actually say it to somebody? That's where the tragedies come from, is the unshared ideas.
Your wisdom and insight is so valuable, because fear is paralyzing and it can be stifling, and we just can't move toward becoming our best creative selves. And you do that so well in your work with children and your writing, and we are so grateful for all of your knowledge and wisdom.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I'm always saying to my actors when I'm directing plays, you know, when people get tense and they start to freeze up or get really upset about something that's not working out well, and I'll say, lighten up. There's a reason why they call it a play. That's the thing. We're supposed to be here playing and having fun. This is supposed to be fun. So if it's supposed to be fun and it's not feeling fun, then what are we blocking? How can we make this fun?
Well, Sandra, when you wrote this book, what did you hope readers would take away?
Oh, gosh, that they actually believe in themselves, to have faith in the fact that when they look in the mirror, they're looking at a unique creative genius. And when they walk into any room, anywhere, they are in a room filled with unique creative geniuses. If everybody could believe that, I find that a beautiful idea to think about how much our world would change, our classrooms would change, our work environments would change, our family dynamics would change, if we knew and respected the fact that everyone has their own unique creative genius.
That's really great, because your book highlights your deep belief that each individual has that responsibility to themselves and to the world to do, to speak, to share, and create what they came to do here in this lifetime,
yes.
in our world. And I love what you say, everyone is brilliant.
Yes, and I mean everyone. I don't mean everybody that's sort of in that median range or already shows themselves to have a high IQ or something, but I mean everyone. If someone came to this planet with a disability of some kind, I believe they came here to play that character with those obstacles. And they are there to bring us, all the rest of us, something gorgeous and beautiful when we embrace that. And we just need to listen. We need to listen.
And that's really moving beyond your self-imposed limitations or the judgment of others that limit your capabilities.
Right.
So what impact would you like to see your book really have on the world?
Oh, I would love to create a world where everyone expects and respects the genius in themselves and in everyone around them.
That's wonderful. So, Sandra, how can our listeners connect with you?
they can certainly go to my website, sandrakavanaugh.com. The book is available on Amazon, and I am happy to have anyone email me. They can jump on the website and schedule a discovery call with me, but they can also just email me at sandra@sandrakavanaugh.com.
All right. Well, thank you, Sandra, for being here today. We know that your book will certainly make an impact in the world, and we really appreciate you being here and the generosity of your time and wisdom.
Oh, thank you so much, Jean Marie. I really appreciate this. It's been fun.
And thank you to all of our listeners for joining us today. And until next time, have a wonderful week.